When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies Baby. Every week on Movies Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies Baby wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies Baby with 5 Y's. Movies Baby!
Do you like appliances? Are you looking for a new refrigerator? Do you ever want something to chat about around that new refrigerator? Refrigerator talk. You know, the thing you do at the office with your coworkers when you don't know, you need a good topic of something to say.
Oh, I think it's water cooler chat.
Yes, duh, it is. Anyways, we have a wild show, lots of twists and turns.
Guess who's on over?
Well, Diva, the Diva herself. H to the U to the N to the G to the hold it. Puke.
Over. What? I did throw up. Okay, I gotta go.
Enjoy.
Forever Dog.
When first choice is a big old bus,
you turn around and boom, you end up with us. Sloppy seconds.
Oh, Diva.
Our number is 213-536. 9180. Our email is sloppysecondspot@gmail.com. Now on with the show. Hi, you sloppy, you stupid little fucks, you nasty little fucks, you dirty little fucks, you dirty little nasty little nasties. You're a bunch of little nasty little fucks. One of the sloppy seconds with Big Dipper and Meatball. I'm Meatball, that's Big Dipper, and I am hungover.
Are you feeling nasty?
Am I feeling dirty?
Dirty? Are you feeling like a nasty, dirty girl?
Are you feeling too dirty to clean my act up?
Ladies, gentlemen,
somebody ring the alarm.
No, bring it. First, they need to bring the alarm. Over
bring the alarm.
You.
And then we will ring the alarm.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we'll go ring into Beyonce's ring the alarm. I've been through this too long. I've been down. I don't know the rest of the lyrics.
I'll be damned if I see another chick on your arm. Yeah, that's good songwriting. Did you see in that interview that Beyonce said, it could take me a whole year to go through all the sounds that I want to decide how to do, use. Did you see that?
All the sounds I've decided to
use? She basically said in her songwriting process, she'll like listen to all the sounds, like what kind of digital keyboard sound or what kind of snare sample or what kind of whatever in making digital music and making the beats.
I could see that. She seems like such a perfectionist.
Tell me about your gig last night.
Bitch, I got hungover. I came home, I vomited. I threw up all over my downstairs bathroom. It was a really fun time. It was You've Got Mail.
Yes.
Spelled M-A-L-E, which is a little okay. It's it's a 90s to 2005 party where everyone performs a song from that. And so I, on Wednesday, was like, I'm going to start thinking about a song to do. And then Wednesday night, I get a text from Pinche being like, hey, is it okay if I come stay with you this whole weekend? And I was like, oh, yeah, what's going on? And she was like, well, Rubella just came down, got contracted COVID. So I was going to stay with Rubella. And I was like, oh, that's fine. And it's Wednesday night. And I was like, what time on Friday are you coming in? And she goes, I'm coming in Thursday morning at 10 a.m. I was like, So she got in the car, and because she was going to be here, I just thought, like, let me do a number that's an easy costume to make. And so I did dirty because it's a bra, panties, and chaps. And I made it all in, like, a couple hours.
Oh, you made it fresh. So this wasn't one that's in your repertoire.
No, but I think it will be. It's a fun song. Did you know at the end of it, there's literally a minute and a half of just, let's get dirty, 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 dirty. I want to get dirty. It's a 5-minute song. It is a
Songs used to be 5 minutes.
Songs used to be 5 minutes. And in the 90s, too. Early 2000s.
To
2005. They just faded out. They would just keep repeating and fade out. And I'm so glad that we're done with that.
You like a smooth 1 minute and 45 seconds of a song.
And then I like to get off the stage.
You know that song, Kiss Me More?
Yes, I love that song.
What are SZA's lyrics?
Wah, bah, bah, bah. There's a whole TikTok just about how SZA never enunciates, and like you can't tell what she's saying.
Do you know on Industry Baby, the Lil Nas X song?
Yeah.
The song starts with like the chorus, and there's lyrics, but like what feels like the true first verse where he's going, God, get out, done. Yeah, get out. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The lyrics are like, gotta get this album done. Blah, blah, blah. His enunciation is so stylized. And people like stylized enunciation.
They do. We're going to talk about Christian Walker's dad running for a Senate seat.
Yes, he's running for a Senate.
But I did see somewhere online, you know, I like to check up on the headlines and not get into the article. He's friends with, very close friends with, like, a pray the gay away person. And he has a gay son. He's, like, anti-gay.
Right, but you know Christian Walker does not identify as gay. He doesn't.
Yeah, but there's
identify...
a video of him dancing that identifies him as gay.
No, I think he literally has politicized his identity so much so that he's like, I don't. Okay, so he has a podcast called Uncancelable.
Good for
Cancelable?
Him.
Is that a word?
No. Cancelable. That actually seems like it would be a word. Let's look it up.
I mean, it makes sense that it's a word. But anyhow, he.
Uncancelable may not be. Cancelable.
It's just like a lot of syllables, right?
Cancelable is a word, but uncancelable? It is a word. He did that.
He sure did that. Girl, to me, like, when people present like Christian Walker, they're so far gone that I have a hard time. Like, it was, I don't know. We talked about this before, but like, I don't know how I felt about Bob. Like,
when that went down, I didn't fully understand who Christian, Bob interviewed Christian Walker. It's on Bob's YouTube. It's insane. I watched the whole thing. I didn't understand Christian Walker's connection to anything. I didn't understand his like status in the online. I don't even know how to say that. How do you say that? His popularity?
What do you mean his status?
He's like well known. He has a
big following figure. For making trolly fucking videos. He basically did what Tommy Lauren did, except he doesn't have a YouTube show because he was rich. Like he has so much money from his parents. Now I believe he's turning that into a brand. So he is, you know, it's his podcast now.
But he talks about wanting a big strong man. He talks about wanting to have sex with men.
No, I'm saying he is gay. Men. He literally says,
but he like doesn't identify as gay. He's like, I will never say that I am LGBTQ. I am a person who likes men or something. And it's like, thank you.
Well, he says that because he's like, I'll never never be a part of all of that Alphabet City Rainbow Coalition, you know, whatever, not Rainbow Coalition, not Jesse Jackson. But like, it's just, it's so twisted, and it comes from, talk about privilege, like to have as much privilege as that, to not see the problems of the world, like to be so sort of removed from it.
And that reminds me, because he lives over in Beverly Hills. And so the whole time that Black Lives Matter was happening, he kept on being like, the BLMers are coming over to my neighborhood and they're going to burn my house down.
Girl.
And like all this crazy stuff. And that just reminds me, you know, the Nextdoor app where you can like kind of keep track of like everything that's happening in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
There's this wild post that's like blowing up right now on our Nextdoor app where this person is like, how come Beverly Hills is clean and there's no garbage on the street, but our neighborhood, Los Feliz, is covered in homeless people and is dirty? We need to figure out what they're doing over there to get these homeless people off the street and like clean up the neighborhood. And it's like, yeah, well, over there, you get arrested for being homeless. Like you can't be a homeless person walking down the street. They will arrest you and take you in. Like there's no rules over in Beverly Hills like that.
Right. Like, it's like, what are they doing over there? It's long-term systemic racism and payola from a high tax bracket to keep the streets clean in Beverly Hills.
It's like not a... And he kept on being like, no one wants to come to LA. Everyone wants to only hang out in West Hollywood. And, da, 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 da. And this post is like 10 paragraphs of just elitist trash. And it's like, how about instead of trying to figure out how to make homeless people feel terrible or bad... will you figure out how to help them? End of list.
Well, girl, and the bullshit of this California recall election. God damn
it. Do you think he's going to get recalled? I think he is. I voted no, but I think he is.
Well, I was listening to something. I sure should hope he doesn't. I was listening to something, but it feels complicated. Why isn't voting more simple? Because the people who want to maintain their power make it complicated for everyone. Like there should be two points to this vote. There should there be a recall, and then there should be election. Because what is complicated is that second question of if there is a recall, who should get. So if the first answer is yes in California, then someone who gets 7% of the vote on the second question, they could become the governor.
7%.
That's how Arnold Schwarzenegger became the governor in a recall election.
Honestly, if he would have run again, I probably would. Oh, no, he's terrible trash.
He is nice trash. Reindeer. Who isn't trash? Let's come up with a list of people who aren't trash.
Oprah. Well, no, Oprah. She had that school where they were...
Wait, what happened with the school?
I think it's closed now. I think something was going on at her school in Africa. Who isn't trash? Who isn't... Whoopi Goldberg. She's always on the right side of history.
Whoopi is not trash at all. Who else is a person? AOC, I don't think is trash. I've never been critical of anything she's done. Personally. Is that too polarizing? Statement.
That might be too polarizing because I think that sometimes, as much as I love AOC, I think sometimes she serves herself a little bit.
Well, there's also the thing of like, we live in this like systemic, we live in this society that is so based on these like old timey rules, right?
Of, yeah.
Like the way, you know, these parties and like blah, blah, blah. So I support all of the most radical left that I can be. But sometimes when people go like, we're all going to abstain from this vote in order to prove a point that the compromise isn't good enough, then bad shit happens. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so sometimes I get like, I'm like, fuck, what is the best way? But it's often a catch 22. And it's like, I'd rather, you know, support a politician who is strong in their morals, and their morals are like, everyone deserves, you know, everything they can get. I don't know. We should.
I don't like a liar. I don't like a liar. And you know who lied to me last night?
Who?
One of the Go-Go Boys.
What'd they say?
He didn't lie with his mouth. He lied with his body. I said,
explain that.
Everyone, whip him out. And well, he, what? Not everyone okay. did, but he did. And when he did, it was wrapped in a sock. He had a, it had like a bulky sock on it that then he put a cock ring over the sock to hold it onto his junk. And then he put his underwear over that. And I thought to myself, so you're adding heft. Also, when someone tips you and they want to go grab a little, you know, dick cleavage, they're going to get sock.
Well, they, you put on pads. You don't have hips.
But I don't want anyone to, I'm not asking anyone to touch it.
I don't know that a lot of those Go-Go Boys are asking people to touch their dick. They're asking to be tipped for looking hot.
Well, in that case, he is not a liar. He is a performer.
He's a performer with a strong aesthetic and the skills to translate that to an audience.
You know what I love is that one Go-Go who was like, I have a, I'm not going to name names, but they were like, I have a small dick and I'm okay with that and I like it. And here, and he kept showing it to us.
Oh, he did do a lot of dick showing. Well, let's be honest. His feature was on the backside.
Yeah, he gives great ass.
And he's a bottom. So to give great ass and be a bottom and be thrilled with that, I mean, what more could you want?
A lot of people with tiny dicks, or I guess not tiny dicks, just like smaller dicks, I don't know. Choose to be a bottom because they don't want a top, or... because it's because they think that people will not like that, or
it's,
is it just
probably
like
it's definitely probably a tendency, but I also know as a person who has
a tiny dick
many times to bottom and just had trouble with it.
I prefer
sometimes you prefer it.
Well, I don't know. I like all dick shapes and sizes, but like sometimes I really want just a tiny dick in my butt.
Right. No, I'm saying as a person who has attempted to bottom multiple times, it's only ever really worked out well, like once or twice in my whole sexual history. Mm. My ass just like isn't craving that. So if I had some sort of like exterior motive that was like, I have to be a bottom, sometimes the biology comes up against it.
So what you're saying is that your Bucci cat can't handle the meat. Bucci cat.
My Bucci cat can't handle that.
Okay, now that's a bop. We're going to edit that out.
Yeah, where it's like,
my new
hello,
song.
Sir. That's a baseball bat. My Bucci cat can't handle that.
Bucci cat. Bucci cat.
Do you feel like it took us 25
minutes? DJ, run
minutes
that back. Bucci cat. Bucci cat.
I said run that back. Bucci cat.
Bucci cat.
Do you feel like it took us 25 minutes to actually be ready to podcast today?
Yes, but I think it was because I was hungover, and now I'm committing to it.
And I've just been worried about the internet this entire time, so I've
been
distracted.
Oh, yes, from the Red Lion Inn in Palm Springs, you cannot get the good Wi-Fi. You know what I'm actually super, super excited about, and part of the reason why I will not be attending
my
a lot.
My arms? Sorry, go ahead. I'm just looking at them. They look nice.
Yeah, they look big, but we're at a low angle. Okay. I'm going to Chicago on September 7th.
She's
I'll be
a
performing
travel doll
for my first time at Roscoe's, and I'm just super excited to be out in the world again, and like Strabble's picking up. And I guess I understand the Delta variant is running rampant, but we're going to be doing everything to stay safe. And then from Chicago, I'm going to New York, which I haven't been to in years. And you know, at least twice a year, I make like a 1 or 2 week trip out to New York. So,
because wait, remind me because I'm not 100% sure.
I did
you
used to live in New York?
Oh, work, bitch.
But I am not staying. This is going to be, I'm staying in Williamsburg this time.
Oh.
I'm not staying in the Lower East Side, but it's very close to the L train. I'm going to be there for Bushwick. I'm going to see the dolls at Bushwick.
I'm so jealous of that. Have I ever told this story about the last Bushwick that I went to? I had this is why I don't know. Do you have? I'm going to make a couple points and then I'm going to say the story about Bushwick. But
okay,
do you
strap
have
in.
positive relationships with your exes?
No. I don't have any relationships with them.
Got it. I have a great relationship with my ex.
The last time I ran into my ex was at Bushwig 2 years ago.
Okay, so this is what I'm saying.
And I gave them a hug, and they were like, "Do you want to grab a drink?" And I went, "No." I just walked away. I said, like, hi, hugged. I said, how are you doing? They're like, great. I was like, I'm great, too. And then
walked away. I'm great, too.
Everything in my life is fine. You didn't ruin me.
So when I broke up with my ex-boyfriend who I lived with in New York.
Is this the one that breakup looks just like you, but challenging. Oh.
What's that?
So is this the one that looks just like you, but hot?
The
one that I met at Hot Dog?
Oh, no. That's my ex-boyfriend from Chicago. But when I broke up with my ex-boyfriend from New York, I feel like this was after we broke up or right before we broke up. It must have been at... God, what if it was before and I'm just awful?
All things are possible through
Christ. Well, we went to Bushwig together and he never dresses up. He's like an older man who would always wear like J. Crew outfits and like I know you love J. Crew. And he had like really refined, like elegant taste. And I dressed him in an outfit from the Rainbow store up the street. I put a wig on him. I put a sparkly bejeweled hat on him. And he came with me to Bushwig and I performed and he was there with me.
And then he broke up with you.
Well, what we really did, which is crazy, is after we broke up, we went to Iceland together because I had a gig in Iceland and there were two tickets and he was going to come with me. So he came with me and it was like our closure trip.
I'm sorry, a closure trip? No. When I break up with someone, it's over and you will never hear from me again and I will only talk shit about you.
Yeah.
Not that's a closure trip.
That's why you and I are different. We had tickets. I was like, do you still want to come? He was like, yes, let's go to Iceland. So we went to Iceland and everyone who was on this trip were like couples. There were only a few single guys there, and we were staying together, and we were always together, obviously. So we didn't tell anyone that we were broken up. We just sort of pretended like we were still dating.
Huh. That's
too
weird.
Intimate for you? Let's take a break.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime. Yeah. And under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back.
Get 15% cash back at hundreds of stores, including headliners like Bombas, Elf Cosmetics, and Hotels.com.
Rakuten is how in-the-know shoppers get the best savings. They shop the brands they love and earn cash back on top of deals.
During Big Give Week, May 6th through May 13th, the cashback rates are even bigger with Rakuten. But only for a limited time.
You can save on everything you need for summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel.
And Rakuten deposits your cash back directly into your PayPal account, or they can send you a check.
Rakuten really is the best way to shop.
Membership is free, and when you sign up and shop today, you get an extra 10% cash back boost.
That's an extra 10% cash back on top of the 15% cash back. You won't see higher cash back rates than these.
Go to Rakuten.com. rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app.
R-A-K-U-T-E-N.
Shoppers get it.
Rakuten.
We are back.
And we're black.
Did you ever watch High School Musical? I know this is a random question, but I'm just trying to pivot.
Yes, okay. I wasn't super obsessed with it. I just, like, I watched the first one and maybe the second one, I think.
So was it the start of something new for you?
Is this the start of something new? It wasn't.
You just rewrote the melody of this.
No, I was doing the harmony.
Got it, as a theater kid,
I think that I was, like, interested in watching, like, anything about high school theater.
Do you know that Kenny Ortega, who directed High School Musical, also directed Newsies? Did you know this?
What a step down. But I guess it makes sense. They're both Disney.
What a step down. Sure. Maybe like, artistically, you're like, High School Musical is so cheesy. But, bitch, what a step up. That man made so much money on High School Musical.
And now they have that TV show that's, like, High School Musical, the musical.
The TV show, yeah.
Yeah.
It is a TV show about kids in high school doing High School Musical, I guess.
Which is where Olivia Rodrigo first started acting. Olivia Rodrigo. Everyone's like, she came out of nowhere. She's a new star. She's a hit or whatever. And it's like, no, she's been in the scene for a minute. She just didn't sing. She didn't have an album.
Yeah, it's very Ariana Grande. Like, you know, Ariana Grande.
It's
was
giving
like
very Ariani.
It's something similar to an Ariani vibe. No, okay. So, what's crazy about High School Musical is, as a grown-up adult human person, it did in fact change my life.
Oh, I guess you were an adult at that point. What did it do for you? Did you ever watch Glee?
Okay, I did watch Glee.
I did too. Why did we do that?
Because I was gay. That's why I watched it. It almost felt like required viewing, and I got joy out of it. But upon looking back, I was like, I don't know that I liked this. I just know it. I was obsessively watching it.
Exactly. I would like. I remember I would come home and like watch it before I went to school the next day, so that I could have something to talk about, like refrigerator talk. What do they call that? Water cooler talk.
Well, I know what this episode is going to be called.
Refrigerator talk. Talking about refrigerators. When they delivered your refrigerator to your apartment, did they take it out of the box for you?
It did. I've never had that experience.
Oh.
Girl, I've always lived in these like rinky-dink spots. My current fridge started leaking. I called a repairman. Yeah. He like snaked the back. For like $70, he fixed it. But both the handles have fallen off the fridge now. And I just still use
it. Welcome to LA.
Welcome to LA. Welcome to LA. In the apartment. That's why I use it. But let me tell you about High School Musical while we're talking about refrigerators.
Refrigerator.
When I was freshly, like, I think I was graduated from college, so I was an adult person. I saw High School Musical and I was like, this is so cheesy, but there's something about this aesthetic that I love. If you, aside from like the raunchy sexual nature to the music and the videos that I make, there is an aesthetic similarity between this sort of like camp factor, brightness, and choreographed nature of all of what High School Musical is and how I make my videos. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely. I understand.
Okay.
That.
So when I saw that, I was like, holy shit. I was working at a theater camp and the
yelling
faculty
at young kids.
Yelling at young kids to learn how to use their voice and their movement. I taught a script. Are you kidding? I taught a script analysis class. I can't read a book without falling asleep after two pages. And I taught a script analysis class. Is that not shocking?
How do you analyze a script? What are we doing in there? Beginning, middle,
end?
Well,
you know, there's like, you know what? There's that whole thing you learn in theater school. There's the inciting action. There's the exposition.
Right.
There's the like, so, you know, whatever. Okay. But all back to High School Musical. I was at this theater camp and I convinced the entire staff,
I love
everyone, the lighting designers, like not even the performing staff, everyone, I taught them all a huge dance number, and we did We're All in This Together from High School Musical.
What the hell is wrong with you?
It was a huge
hit. All in this. Yes. That's where they do the sidesteps and the pumps.
Yeah, they do the pumps and the sidesteps and the overhead clap. It is so embarrassing to think about, and it is so silly and stupid. But honestly, that set a trajectory for me. I like went back. That was like my junior year of college. I went back to college and I was like, I'm a choreographer now. I like choreographed a musical. Then when I graduated, I started choreographing stuff, and it led me to like do all the dancing that I do now at my Big Dipper shows. So that's truly how High School Musical changed and shaped my life.
Well, good for you. High School Musical. I do live. I couldn't get into it. What changed my life was when I went to that boarding arts high school, and I thought it was going to be like High School Musical, and then it turned out to be like way harder.
Why was it hard?
Well, because there was things they were like, okay, this year's musical is Thoroughly Modern Millie. Like over the summer, you should probably take some tap dancing lessons if you want to be in this play. And so like over the summer, I luckily had already been taking tap lessons like before I even went to that school, so I knew how like the basics of tap dance. But like they basically were like setting everyone up to be like, okay, and this summer when you go home to visit your family, go take tap dance, like find a tap dance thing in your thing if you want to be a part of this music. So it was like we never got to like not be learning something, and I was like, it's summer, I want to go home and just like fucking relax and not have to deal with anything, not take tap dancing, not have to like work on my flexibility, not have to work on a bunch of scripts or like start rehearsing for 3 months.
And they were all 5, 6, 7, 8.
Okay, explain this to me. I think I want to take dance lessons.
You should.
I've been thinking about 100%. It. I want to take dance lessons, and I want to take voice lessons again.
Yes, you have an amazing vibrato. We all know this. And I...
Okay, no vibrato in that. Wait, how do I...
You know what I would like to see have happen for you? I would like to hear you...
That has to happen.
I would like to hear you boldly sing Jessie J's verse from Bang Bang.
What is her verse? You know, when we come back from our next break... I'll open it up with that, but bang.
All right, let's take a break, and we'll come back with a song selection and some voicemails.
It's mix scotto, it's frizz in the bottle.
No, I said
it's
Jessie
Sticky
J.
Full throttle. It's out swimming in the grotto, winning the lotto. This is crazy. Like an hourglass, but can give it to you all the time. She got a booty like a Cadillac, but I can send you into overdrive. Oh, you've been waiting for that. Stop, hold up, swing your bat. See, anybody could be glad to you. You need a good girl to blow your mind.
Isn't that crazy that that's the entire verse and then the chorus starts? That's the Jessie J part?
It's crazy that those are the words.
Lyrics are so funny. When you ever look at actual lyrics from famous pop songs, swing your back, swing your back.
Yeah. I'll let you have it. That's
all right. Are you ready? You got some voice notes.
She might have let you out your hand in school, but I'm going to show you how to graduate. I do have voicemails.
Hey, Big Dipper and Meatball. I just have a question. Is body dysmorphia gay? Because whoa. I have always been fat. Like, not just like chunky, but like fat. And then I went to the gay club for the first time when I was like 20-something, and I realized that I was atrocious, right? Because body dysmorphia. Then I lost 140 pounds, and now I'm starting to gain a little bit back because I realized that I still wasn't hot. So is body dysmorphia real? And if it is it gay? Goodbye.
Whoa.
intense.
This is a, you know, this is not a hungover question. You know what
you
I mean?
You can't handle this.
It's real. It's real. Yes. You just literally described it. You literally said that you thought that you were disgusting. You lost 140 pounds or something, and then we're still disgusted with yourself. Like, that is the definition to me.
Yeah, body dysmorphia is completely real, and I think very rampant in the gay community. I can only speak from sort of like a male perspective, like a guy who sleeps with guys, because I had a lot of crazy fucked up body issues until I found the bear aesthetic and the bear community, and then I realized, like, oh, I actually have something to offer that people are into. And yeah, for a long time I didn't feel that way, and so because of that I was like, oh, now I have more confidence and more power. But I think a lot of people in the gay scene, you know, it's boiled down to sex and sex appeal. And I think that's universal. But I think there's a lot of like, oh, if you're not giving the body that we all see on Instagram, then you're not worth it. And that contributes to a ton of dysmorphia.
Absolutely. Is it gay? Absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
I just want to say, I don't know how to make you love your body. I think maybe so therapy could help.
Yeah. Talking about it, therapy.
Finding people that find you attractive for who you are, for your personality and your body.
Yes. Also, don't seek out like a fucking, you know,
chaser.
Like, or don't seek out like a bikini party with 8-pack abs and that's 90% of the room, because you'll feel like garbage. Yeah. Go where there are regular people. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
All right.
Next call.
Hey, Dipper. Hey, Meatball. So what I'm about to say isn't necessary. Sloppy,
hello.
But she is messy. So I just went to my local bar because Detox was performing, and come to find out, they did not give her money. After she did an amazing job, she turned the fucking stunt bitch. But
what?
Yeah, they decided to not pay her. If you want, I can be shady and tell you their name as well. But I think y'all can do some investigation on that part. All right. Thanks. Love the pod. Bye.
Oh, I thought there was a question. What do you think?
But how does this person know that Detox didn't get paid?
Maybe she posted something. But let's talk about payment.
Let's talk about payment.
I do not understand. Like, I understand a lot of time, like, the money comes from the door at a lot of the shows that I do. So it makes sense to kind of wait to the end of the night,
right,
for someone to count all that money and then pay you guys out. But, like, a show where they're, like, flying you in, or for someone like Detox, it's a set amount. You know how much that girl's getting. You can't, right, at the end of the night be like, sorry, we're going to get it to you later. I want my money now. It's my money, and I want it now.
It's my money, and I want it now. Okay, so do you remember, like, last or in 2019 when I was, like, helping you with booking stuff?
Yeah.
We would write stuff into the contract that was, like, a deposit, and then the money gets paid before the performance.
Yes, 30 minutes before I perform, because that gives them the leeway to be like, well, at least you're here. Like, I need, right, to sit down, and 30 minutes beforehand, I want the money in my hand, and then I will happily go on that stage.
And it's interesting because some people go like, whoa, that's wild. And it's like, yeah, okay. One thing, if the party really is the entire budget comes from the door, they can't pay you out until they count all the money. Like, that's, yeah, totally fine. But exactly like you're saying, if you have an agreement, if you have a contract, if you're flying someone somewhere, then you're running a business. And oftentimes, if it's like a monthly party or a weekly party and they always have out-of-town talent, they're using the money from last week to pay for this week's party. It's like, it's each event is not its own microcosm. It's an ongoing business, because,
yeah,
sometimes they have crazy busy nights and they make tons of money, and other times they have kind of flops. And so that's why it's an ongoing business. So it's just shady to me. I've played so many parties where I've agreed to do it in town for just like a couple $100, and they took like a month to pay, and you feel crazy
texting someone and hunting down $200, $100, yeah, like just a little. I remember when I was in New York and I played a gig and it took 3 months for me to get $100. And I felt crazy. And then I was like, it's the principle of it. It's yeah, not about the money. It's the fact that you have been curving me for 3 months and you agreed to pay me this money. And I put in the effort to perform at your party.
There's a party here that's like that, where it's like,
I know.
You'll do the show and then it takes 2 weeks and then they're like, oh yeah, my Venmo got messed up so I can't, like, and I was like, this person lives downtown, and I was like, I live down the street, you got $100 bill, I'll come pick it up. And I know it's just $100 or whatever, but like, when in your mind you've planned on having that $100 to do whatever, usually for me it's to like have cash to buy stuff, like,
right. Yes, that's normally what people do with money, meatballs, buy things.
No, but like, yeah, no, but like, I wanted the cash, and like, I don't want the Venmo cash account because I don't need it to go into my bank. Like, I need invisible money, right, sometimes, so I can buy fabric downtown. Anyway,
well,
it's just the principle. Like, I shouldn't have to wait a week. You know that you have to pay me.
It's exactly what this caller said. It's not sloppy. It's messy. Let's listen to our last voicemail.
Mess. This one's for you.
Ooh. Hello. So I might be a little bit late with this, but answering Zipper's questions about hair loss solutions. I am 32 years old. I noticed my hair started thinning a few years ago. The tipping point actually was when I went to a drag show at Toucans, and on one of the monitors, the camera was pointed at the stage, but I could see the back of my head sitting in the front row, and there was like a big old thin spot there. So I started Rogaine pretty much the next day.
Rogaine.
And that had been working pretty well for a while, but that only works on the crown of the head. So for kind of all over, near the forehead too, I started doing Propecia or Finasteride. And those two together work pretty well. I think that's what Hims and Keeps uses also. And then I also take Biotin every day and Niacin Thinning Shampoo. I'm pretty happy with all the results. So hope that helps. Bye.
Wow, that's like a whole regimen. I guess I should really get on it because I think the front is starting to thin now too.
Yeah, maybe. I can't really tell. I know that I'm going to be one of those people that goes bald like just behind this. Like I'm going to
have
a little
tuft in the front.
Tuft in the middle front. And then all this like right here is thin. I think I might try to do the hair. What is that?
Transplant?
Yeah. And just have a scar on the back of my head. It comes back thick. Everybody that we know that's gotten it has a great hairline.
A lot of people who got that hair transplant.
A lot of the mom girls got it.
She got it for like an hourglass.
Here's a fun
and then
one.
She really
okay,
grow
call
her
in
fucking
and
hair.
Guess
what'd you say?
Who? I said call in and guess who of the mom.
No, don't
girls.
Do that. Now you're being messy.
Okay,
let's end the show. Hey, caller, thank you for the hair growth advice. I did order some generic, like chemical topical thing that is the ingredient in Rogaine on Amazon, and so I'm gonna start with that product and see how that works for me.
Yes, come through, Daddy Bezos. All right, if please call in and let us know if you have any questions, if you need life advice, if you want a fuck talk story to share. Let us know. Our number is 213-536-9180. You can email us at sloppysecondspod@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Instagram at SloppyPod or Fat Drag Meatball on Twitter and Spiciest Meatball and Big Dipper Jelly on Instagram for our personals. Thank you for listening. And don't forget to like and subscribe so you don't ever miss an episode, which come out every Tuesday and Friday. Good. Bye. I'm hungover.
Doodle-a-doot-doot forever. Dog.
To listen to Sloppy Seconds ad-free and one day early, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus.
Sloppy Seconds is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom.
Hosted by Big Dipper and Meatball. Music, editing, and sound design by William Pitt.
Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Joe Cilio, Brett Boehm, and Alex Ramsey.
Our artwork was drawn by Christian Cimarroni.
And our theme song was written by Mike Malarkey.